There's a one sheet handout that's on the back table over there in the middle. Do they do that in your share also? Okay, we have this week, Be'ez Hashem. And next, before Tisha B'Av Halavai, Tisha B'Av will have a shiur, but as of the present situation, we won't. After that, I have to get some kind of idea whether there's a post Tisha B'Av break. I don't know whether we're holding yeshiva, ben hazman, or seder, or not. I don't know. Okay, Be'ez Hashem. We spoke this far, the first two shiur of Be'ez Hashem, by the concept of Mechusar Mana. I want to move on now from there, but just to quickly recap and to add one more point on to our previous discussion before we advance further. Till now we spoke about Mechusar Mana, an expectation to maintain one's word, to keep what a person promises someone else on two different levels. One is more halachically expected, even though it's not binding and actionable per se in Beis Din. But if a person gave another person reason to rely and count on him, that he's going to be providing something as a gift or as a sale or as a job or as a purchase, and then to disappoint him and to be samech him on a tocheles nichzava, on a false hope, and pulling it out from under him afterwards, is an avla, is an injustice, it's not right. It goes into the concept of Sher Yisrael Yasu Avla Lidar B'Chozov. There's something dishonest about that. That's on one level. On a higher level, if Nimesh Yeruz Adin, which is not expected necessarily of all, the Rambam puts it into the midos of a Talmud Chacham, that is that besides that which a person causes the potential loss of someone else or disappointment, is for the person's own self. When I say something, I should stand behind it because I should be a man of truth, an ish emes, and with the midas of emes, not the mishana mediburo, that a hain should be a hain, and a yes should be a yes, and a no should be a no, and I will do it will mean I will do it, and you could count on it. That's the midah of Talmid Chachamim that the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Deos Perek Hei. There's one third level of that we didn't mention beforehand. I just want to quickly touch on to it, and that is the Gemara at the very end of Maseches Makos refers to Rav Safra as being an example of Dover Emes B'Levavai. That's in Kapitel Tezvav. Mi'alav HaRashem, Mi'ashkum HaRakachai. It lists over there a number of qualities. One of them is Dover Emes B'Levavai, a person that always speaks truthfully in his own heart. Speaking is usually done with one's lips, with one's mouth, when they speak to someone else to listen to. When you speak in your own heart, you speak to yourself, you tell yourself, you make a commitment to yourself, and that is a Dover Emes B'Levavai. The Gemara doesn't tell us the story of Rav Safra, but Rashi over there brings it down in Makos Chav Dalav and Aleph from the Shiltos or V'Chaygon about the story, probably everyone knows it, that he had something for sale, someone gave him an offer, and he was silent, he didn't respond, and the person thought that he was ignoring him because he wasn't in the ballpark, so he upped the offer, and still no response from Safra. Then he said even a higher price, a very high price that he offered to it. And then Rav Safra finished saying Krishma. And he's told him that the reason that I didn't respond was not because I was dissatisfied with the first, I would have been happy to sell it to you, but I couldn't interrupt while I was saying Krishma. And since in my mind I already accepted to sell it to you at the lower price, the first price, then I'm going to keep that, even though it was just Bilavava, even though it was only internally, and I will still sell it to you on the original price. He could have easily just said, okay, fine, and taken the third highest bid, but that he felt to be not Dover Emes B'Levavai inside of himself to saying Emes. So this is a Midas Chasidus that goes beyond the Mechusar Amanu level of halachic expectation. It goes beyond the Midas Tamid Chacham, which is of Nimrushur Zadin, as we saw for the Yushama Yanashvias. Rosh and the Rambam over there bring down as a Lufnim Rishus Adin. This is a Midas Chasidus that's even beyond the Talmud Chacham. So I always thought that was, wow, like a Yachid B'Dayrei, from Yechidi Haderis, from the great tzaddikim, very few and far between, but still not for you and me and any ordinary person, even if we're holding by the Fnim B'Shur Zedin, or certain Midas Hasidus that are practiced, but at such a level like that, of such high integrity, there may be something to dream about, to aspire to. Mesilas Shara in Perek Yud Aleph Nekiyos quotes that after a whole discussion about Sheker and Emes. I see he cites the story with Rav Safra, how far it goes, like even he seems to be painting in terms of a way beyond an extreme, something unusual. However, there is a Gemara in Bava Basra, that Pechesim at Aleph, that gives us a different picture and tells us that it seems to be from that Gemara, which the Rambam paskens the halacha, that it's an expectation not on an ordinary person, not even on Talmud Chacham, but on a person that's classified with another title, a title that we aspire to, and that is a person that's a Yarei Shemayim. The Gemara says that's expected. It has a halachic framework over there, just very quickly to note it for your familiarity with it. And that is in Hilchas Maisreis. Here you want to base major, but we go to Eretz Yisrael, we have to keep doing some Maisreis. So Maisreis have a lacha that they're only chayev in Maiser and also with an Isser of Tevel when they have a certain level of processing of a Gemar Malacha. And there are various things that are considered to be a Gemar Malacha. Amongst them, amongst the list, is a Mecher. If you take some even raw, unprocessed produce, and you sell it, that Mecher itself gives it a Chashivas to it, and makes it to be a Kviyas, that it makes an Isser of Tevel, and then you are also to eat from it, even an Achilas Aroi. So the Gemara over there brings that when a person offers to buy it at a certain price, or even if he just made up in his mind that he's going to buy it and pay for that, then already he's chayv and meiser. So the Gemara says, really, just because you thought like that, that's why that's binding? So the Gemara says, yeah, we're talking this price, and this member of Halacha is talking about by a Yari Shemayim, like the story of Rav Safra. And the Rambam brings it in Halacha, in Hilchas Maisers, beginning of Perek Hei. Rambam doesn't bring a Gadatas. Rambam brings in Hilchas Maisers, he's bringing Halacha, he's saying that a person has a Yari Shemayim, that's already expected. It means that a Yari Shemayim is a higher level than a Talmud Chacham. Okay, that's an interesting thing to think about. But it is an expectation, at least over the Yari Shemayim level, that a person should keep his mental word to himself that to do something, he should do it. Okay. Adkan is the discussions regarding a word given to someone else that's luckily not binding, but as a matter of integrity, as a matter of honesty, I'm sorry. Baruch Hashem, what's kultur? As a matter of integrity, a person should keep it on these different levels of something that someone else was relying upon that they shouldn't back out on the Fnim B'Shur Zedin about my own saying something, I should keep it. And at a higher level, even if I just thought it and committed it in my mind, I should also keep it too. Adkan is that discussion of Chus Ramana. It was brought up last year, afterwards, an extension of that, which I want to not right now go down that road and discuss that. There are many cases, and many very commonly occurring cases, that it's even much more severe than this in the opposite direction. Not going into the rituals of din and midas chasidus, but brass tacks, really real chiyuvim, that a person sometimes has to keep what he says and has to stick by it, and he even could be compelled to do so. And that's a cases in which it's more than just a disappointment or more than just my own midas emes, but it's a matter of some loss, some damage, some hezek that's going to come up to another person because I gave him to believe this and brought him to a situation that when I pull out, he suffers loss because of that. There are a number of situations right now, I'll share them with you, and they become guiding principles that we use everywhere else. Just like Lamedes Melachos on Shabbos, most of them are relatively removed kind of situations that were not farmers or tanners or seamstresses or weavers. But we take those same principles and we apply them into the modern technology kind of kitchen situations and such. Likewise, these principles of halacha, the shore of a bora, mava, va'esh, hever, are also principles that we're going to apply. I'm going to show you how, Be'ez Hashem, a lot of them are very, very down-to-earth and real-life kind of situations. The sheet that I gave you out, a printout, is the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Shin Lama Gimel. Shin Lama Gimel is in Hilchas Schiras Payalim. I'll give you the background before we read anything inside. The concept is that there's, maybe if it's disturbing the noise, come quicker here, closer here, everyone's welcome to join. I'm not going to. Okay. The concept is that if a person gives an offer of, let's say, a job, employment, to a potential worker, and then afterwards backs out, and now the guy doesn't have a job. Okay, he didn't have a job beforehand. He had a he thought he did. Now he doesn't have a job, so he's back to where he was beforehand. He was relying upon me, and now I pulled it out, so it's mechusar mana. Wasn't very nice of me. I disappointed him, deflated his hopes. So that's not so very nice, but it could be a lot more serious than that. It's more than disappointment. And that is that he could have, by that time, lost out opportunities which he had back then, and otherwise, if I would have told no from the beginning, he would have checked out various other options, and he would have had himself a job. And now that I hung him around on this to hope, and now it's past the time that there are such things available, now he's out. It could be a day worker, where if I meet him at noon and say, tomorrow I'm going to need you. He said, great. And that night when everyone else is lining up getting jobs, he said, I'm already lined up. And at midnight or at 7 o'clock in the morning, I call him and say, sorry, I don't need you. So what's he going to do? All day delays. He's just going to sit around and space out. He doesn't have a work. Or it could be a teacher, a person engages. I'm a principal in a school, and I engage a teacher to be my fifth grade Rebbe, or Mora, or English teacher, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. And it's in May, and that's a high time for people to be hired. Okay, maybe we didn't write up a formal contract. You know, from people don't have to write anything down, of course. That's a very big mistake. We'll talk about it other times. And of course, you know, don't worry about it. We even talked about curriculum and the books and the schedules and all. Fine. On August 15th, I call up the teacher. I'm very, really sorry. I know, but it didn't work out. My plans changed. I reconstructed my classes, and I'm sorry, I don't need you anymore. And the teacher says, thank you very much. You know, if you told me back in May 15th, there was still another 15 places to go. And August 15th, you try to find yourself a good teaching job on August 15th. You know, you tell me where you get it. It's not available. Right? And so the whole year now, I'm going to be out of a job because you woke up on August 15th and told me, you can't do that. Right? That's costing me a year's worth of work, and you're going to have to pay me now my whole year's salary, reduced by the fact that I don't have to prepare, and I don't have to mark teachers, and I don't have to stand over there and deal with all this wonderful, delicious Talmidim. But the vacation element of Adar was going to decrease the workload. But even so, whatever that trade-off is, I lost out on that. The same thing could also be in the reverse. When you have the worker, employee, being in a situation that I told you, don't worry about it, I'll be there. And then afterwards I call you, oh, sorry, you know, my wife wants me to go somewhere else today. So there, the guy that was counting on me, so if it's just a disappointment, we get back to Mechus Ramana. Mishnah gives a case about something that's that needs to be processed right now. So when I know I have workers, let's say I take my flax and I put it into the soaking solutions, and that way tomorrow it has to be brought out and dried and flattened and woven, whatever, you have to spun, you have to process it. But if you let it sit over there in that solution for another 2 days, it's going to dissolve, it's going to be destroyed, right? So I hired some people that are experienced, they know how to do this kind of work. And I put it into soak overnight, so tomorrow morning it'll be all ready to go for them. And then tomorrow they call, well, sorry, I decided I'm going fishing with my kids. So what's going to be with my stuff? I just put it over here. It's going to go get ruined. That's a dover of a situation. So in those kind of situations, we have a lacha that either the payol or the balabayas, whichever one is that's backing out, it's much more than simply a complaint of not nice, but it becomes much more than that. It's actually damaging. And it is, first of all, for us or for you to do that. And second of all, you could even be responsible, liable for compensation for damage in those kinds of cases.
All the enrollment changed during the summer.
So there are cases in either those, by the Poyal or the Balabayas, that was an unforeseen situation that I couldn't have known. All of a sudden, you know, 9/11 hit and the whole world just changed overnight, right? Something that's totally unexpected. Chalila Bechas, you know, whatever kind of Hashem Yishreinu. So that was beyond anyone's scope. That's an onus, right? What happens if a person got all of a sudden sick? They can't come to work. Okay, what can you do? What happens if school got closed down? Okay, what can you do? There are things that are beyond our control and that we should not be able to anticipate and plan on. But that which is within my control, and I just decided I'm going to combine this grade and that grade, and that way I'll be able to cut myself down 1 month each year, but you're already committed to me. Do that next year. But this year, I have the job. Next year, we'll talk about next year.
What makes you committed?
My word. My telling you that you can rely on me, that you're going to have this position, you're going to be my, whatever, swimming instruction for this year's camping season, and you turn down 5 other positions because of that, and now I wake up in July 1st, and tell you, sorry, I decided I'm going to take them all to get the lessons at the JCC. So I don't need you anymore. So, you know, my telling you and allowing you to rely upon that and to turn down other situations will be there. You could, in theory, have that even by a sale of a house where I have 3 other buyers right now, right? And they're all right now ready to buy it at whatever price that I'm asking. And you come up to me and you give me a whole reason why I should sell it to you. I say, fine, but if I tell you I'm going to do it for you and tell these guys no, they're going elsewhere. And that's going to be it. I'm never going to see them again. Right? You say, don't worry, I'll be there. Right? And we haven't yet signed a binding contract and such. Meantime, I tell these other guys goodbye. They say, okay, fine. You know, that's, you know, we'll go. There's other options. So they each buy themselves a house. And in the meantime, you come back to me and say, sorry, I decided that whatever. So now I'm out completely. I don't have any sale. That's causing damage with your word. So sometimes a word is more than simply a matter of integrity, honesty, but it's actually a matter of causing damage. Take a look right now on the sheet. We'll do it a little bit quickly. This is from the Mishnah, the beginning of the 6th paragraph of Bamitzia, Hasrechas Umnim. As the Gemara develops, it's an entire sugya there, but we're just going to hit on some key points. Where the bold is. Sif Aleph, Haseichas Apailim, Vehitus Sabalabayas. They misled him, and afterwards they backed out. They didn't keep their commitment to come to work. Obalabayas Hito, somewhere the reverse. He let them down and told them, I don't need them. Vehilehem Zel Zel Tarumais. In the initial case, if there's no loss being caused, it's just a matter of disappointment. Okay, so you have a complaint that you didn't deal honestly with me. Vemedvar Burum, skipping down to the continuation of the bold. Vishalay Holcho. This is Halacha. Outside of what we just now discussed, there's another halacha that's important to know. That's all if you didn't yet start work. But if there was already a beginning, even just as much as arriving at the workplace on the first day of work ready to go, there's no work to be done. Chamarim are donkey drivers that have donkey trains that it's like trucking to be able to carry produce to market, let's say. And there's no tefua to carry. So we come over there with my 5 trucks ready to load. There's nothing here. The stuff is still wet and drying and not shippable. Or the workers come to work on the field and it's all wet. It's not plowable. It's not harvestable. So these kind of cases where you don't have the work that you told them to do, notice the hemskarim, then you have to pay their full pay. Why? In the brackets, this is sma. Came into balabayas poshea. Since over here this is not an unanticipated new shocking event, but something you knew that your place is wet or you don't have a shippable product. Valicha hikaskalos balacha, and going to the site of work is already like the beginning of the engagement of the work order. Mushum hachi ein balabayas yochel aksibo. At that point he can no longer back out. Halachically he can no longer. Otherwise, he's going to have to pay them for their work with the reduction of the fact that they're on vacation.
The example that you gave before, you said that he calls them up. He hasn't shown up before.
Right. This is a case, we're going to get to that Sif Beis. Sif Aleph is telling another halacha that if there is a haskalas malacha, even in as much as not just having taught the first day of school and then being informed I don't need you anymore, not because of anything wrong that I was doing, just because I decided to reorganize. But even if I didn't take the first day, I just arrived there ready to start. Whatever that first day is, over here is just arrival at the day where the work was supposed to be ready to do and there's no work there to be done. Then that's a schos malacha, and then you already have to pay him. I didn't copy it over onto the sheet, but the gross says the following words, that just like everything else, Metaltal and Karka and such has ways in which you make kinyanim on them. Kamosha shar dvar niktim b'kinyan. That's not on the sheet. That's bal peh. Kain schiras niktim b'haschalas molacha. Schiras, and employment, engaging work, is the kinyan that's binding on that is haschalas molacha. I'll tell you an extremely relevant case. Is a taxi driver. a monit in Eretz Yisrael. I'm planning to go to the airport. I need to go there, whatever, 7 o'clock in the morning for the flight, right? So I want you to be there over there at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, or whatever the arrangements are. And I schedule them to come. And then my friend that's going to the same flight, hey, I'm going there anyway. Why can't I take you? Sure, thanks so much. I jump at him a ride, and here I go off onto my nesiyah. I have a very nice trip. And in the meantime, the taxi driver is coming to my house. Honk, honk, honk. Oh, I'm sorry, he left already. So the driver says, thank you very much, you know. I spent, whatever, 20 minutes coming over here, 5 o'clock in the morning, sitting over here, honk, honk, honk. All the neighbors are throwing eggs at me already. And I got nothing from it. That's Haschalas Malacha. Once he drove and arrived at the scene of the work, you owe him the full fare if it's 200 shekels back and forth to Tel Aviv, then that's what you owe him. And you know who he is, you're gone of the rest of your life.
Even if he got another job 5 minutes later, let's say he was honking and there was somebody else that made another trip to the airport.
That would be, you're right. And that's the Shulchan Aruch says over here if there's another work. In Haschalas Malacha, not so pashut. No, he doesn't have to take another job. In the next case, we'll learn Siv Beis, that's true if you have another job. When you're out of work, well, you're not out of work, you have another job available by the teacher. He got another job offer. This job, I re-engaged him. My contract already is effective as of day of work for the period, let's see, if we engage someone for a month or for a year over here, I engage him for a trip back and forth to Tel Aviv. So you take him, that's 200 shekels. He gets me someone else, he'll take me to the hotel. So that's worth, whatever, 30 shekels, right? But he got himself lined up an hour's work. 200 shekels over here going back and forth to the airport. And it could happen over here in America just as well. And I want to tell you something more than that. If this is a din of gezel, if this is a din of not paying your workers, it's also, even if you call a goyish taxi driver, that's gezelakum. So this is mamash, a case in which you engaged someone and you didn't pay him and you stole his time and his work. Excuse me?
Is that the same case of the guy who came late, 10 minutes late? Can you leave
him? No. I had a job description. And he didn't meet that. I told him to be here at 5 o'clock. I waited. It's already 5:15. I'm going somewhere else. I call up my friend. Take me already. I don't have to be late. I have to keep on waiting over here and risk over there and missing my whole flight. So that was his fault. But when he's no fault, someone else called me up and said, hey, I'm going anyway. Jump in. So I figured I'll save myself 200 shekels. That's great. So if he didn't leave his base yet, I call him up and I cancel him. So they went back to Mechus Ramana. So you could tell me it's Nishtana Shar in a way that wasn't anticipated. I didn't know that my friend's going there anyway at the same time. Okay, we could talk about that. But if I didn't call him up and cancel him, I owe him that money.
Even if he took another job?
Yeah, in this case, it's already the contract is effective when you start. Sif Beis. B'med Dvar Amurim, and this is the halacha we were speaking about before, about having alternatives that were lost. When do we say it's only a matter of a complaint that you didn't handle right? If they didn't actually go, and if therefore wasn't a beginning of the job commitment, that's only if they had no other alternatives anyway. So now I said you're going to get a job. Now I say you're not going to get a job. You're back to where you were beforehand. You never had a job anyway. You've been unemployed for 3 months. So now that you thought you got hopes up, now you got those hopes dashed. So that's because of money issues. But there's no damage because there was no money anyway. You had no other job. But if yesterday I could have got myself a day job for today, or a time in my taxi, or a job for next year's teaching.
Quit a job, quit a previous job.
I even get up that job because of this one over here. Good, that's a practical issue. We activate under Scar and call now. By the time you call me up on August 15th, it's too late. I can't find another job, or at 5 o'clock in the morning, I can't get another person to hire me. Harezek a davar avad lehem, that's causing them a loss. And there are different shitas in Paiskim what davar avad is, but the Sma explains and the Gra explains and the Kvegas brings it down. That's Chayim Medina to Garmi, Sma Sivkot and Ches. Garmi is a case in which I caused you a hezek, and even though we often say that Grumma ben Ezekiel, if it's just an incidental cause, that because of this, are you going to have a loss of something that I didn't actually make that damage and steal any money from you, we say it's only Padrim Chavi Shemayim. It's not an actual Bezdin actionable kind of a collection, but Dinar Garmi is more aggravated, more of a damage than that. Maybe on another occasion, we'll go through what what differentiates between Garmi and Grumma. But for today, we'll just say this is something that you would be responsible for. You're causing them this loss, and therefore you can't be Chayzer. And if you do, you'll be responsible to pay for them.
Assuming there's no contract written up, it's just word of mouth.
Right. Contracts don't have to be written.
Can you bring a person to Bezdin?
Yes. Now, if you don't have a written contract, the other person can always deny it. But assuming that he's admitting the truth, he says, yes, I agree to this, but then I changed my mind. So we can say, you know, we understand people change their mind, but think about what it does to him. If it's just a matter of disappointment, that's one discussion. We'll say it's not nice, it's not right. But if it's a matter of causing actual losses, we're going to say you can't do that, and therefore if it's still possible to do, you have to still do the job. And if it's causing him a loss that's irreparable, then you're going to have to pay for it. A contract is a meeting of the minds, an agreement, an understanding that you can rely upon this, and because of that you go forward and act accordingly. And when you put yourself at that kind of situation, because of what I told you, then I'm taking responsibility for that. With the adjustments that would have to be made. So here we have situations in which it's more than just a matter of honesty or truthfulness, but actually going into the areas of damages. A constant issue I have, people come over to ask me shalos and dinim mamonos often. Every single year I have a whole long list of these same exact shalos comes up again and again and again and again. People that have young children, they have to get them into a play group or a babysitting situation, depending on the age of the children. And most of the play group or leaders or babysitter people that do it at home have a quota. They'll only take X amount, 8 children, 10 children, 12 children, ages, depending how many people assistants they have, whatever their number. Let's say they could only take 10 children. So you call up and you reserve a place because for your little, cute little kids. And they say, fine, you go over them, you talk to them, and fine, very nice. And then again, late in the day, at the end of the summertime, you say, oh, I found someone that's more convenient, closer to my home, you know, easier for transportation, so I'm going to be going there instead. So again, this is the same situation. That playgroup leader isn't just doing it because she's a very wonderful, nice person, but that's her parnasa. And if one of those seats or two of those seats out of those 10 is going to be empty this year, that's 10 or 20% of her annual income has just been taken away. You're already committed to that, unless, of course, you could fill that. You get someone else, you have other friends that want to go there. If she has a waiting list, that's fine. If she has a quota of 10 people and she only has so far 7 or 8 signed up and you back out, then you're not taking that away from her because that didn't cost her someone else a seat that was used, a space that was used. But if otherwise she filled up her quota and now she counted on you and she's been turning people away since then, and now comes mid-August, she's not turning anyone away, there's no one more to turn away. So then you're causing her actual loss, and that's another case of such a Rebbe, a teacher in a school, in mid-year decides he got a fantastic, too good to believe kind of offer somewhere else, tells his Menahel that I'm going to be quitting, gives him a month's notice, let's say. After Pesach, he tells him Purim time, after Pesach, I'm going to be moving now to Chicago. That's very nice. What about your grade? Oh, I'm sure you could find someone, right? Right, someone that you're going to find right now in mid or end year is going to be able to manage under duress, but never is going to be like the first Rebbe. The kids are going to end up with having not a good year. First of all, no substitute as good as a regular teacher. Second of all, coming at the end of the year, you're already they have 2 strikes against it before you start. So, you know, you'll be able to have someone physically, you'll find some young man that's willing to sit and stand over their table and give those shiurim. But you know, it's not a similar replacement, and therefore that's causing a loss. Besides, on the levels of chinuch and Torah and teaching, it's as far as the services that they're contracted to the parents to be able to provide for their children, which they're paying tuition for. You're leaving them high and dry. You're not going to be able to replace it.
What about the fact that like in certain states, it's you know it's a work employment at will, so legally you can both quit. He can fire you at any time. You can quit at any time.
That's true as long as you're not going to be causing him a loss. That has to be the caveat over here. So generally speaking, it's a fluid market. But in certain situations, like at different times of the year, is when you can find, in certain terms that you can't. You can't put someone at risk. I have to tell you. Excuse me? Poel Yotze B'chatzei Yom, that he's not an indentured slave, he's allowed to leave. When he's not causing a loss, there's a whole line of people that are ready to do the same kind of assembly line or harvesting kind of work. So you get another guy with his sickle to go and harvest your same kind of stuff. Right? There's other people to do it. I'm not a slave. Once I start the work, then the guy can't fire me. The Baal Bus can't fire the worker unless there's cause. I'm not doing my job properly. But otherwise, I've earned away my entire job as long as I perform. But the slave, the worker is not a slave. Leave B'nai Yisrael Avadim v'lo Avadim l'Avadim. You're not slaves to anyone else, only to Hashem. And because of that, we can never be indentured. We can never be required to remain at work. And we're allowed to leave. But that's only in such cases that I'm not going to be causing a loss. I'm giving you cases in which loss would be created.
Somebody sent a deposit into the babysitter. So are they going to then have a mishapara? Or if they didn't, at least...
You're talking about even when there's not going to be a loss incurred. Even when there's not a loss incurred. So that's a little bit of a different subject matter. The schirus... It's not a Kenyan Kesef that's subject to a Mishapara. Schirus enim shalom masal basov. It's really halva until that point, and it's even an issue of ribbis if they're going to give you a discount for a early bird sign up. So that it won't be binding by itself. Early birds, by the way, often comes up with camps, day camps or overnight camps. And besides about that issue that gets into a ribbis issue, again, you have the same issue about if someone backs out at a late date. Although those camps always usually have an abundance and overflow of applicants.
Is it common scenario with tutoring? It's a very common scenario. You know, the Rebbe in the summer, the extra final
Okay.
Young,
good.
And then he comes and the kid doesn't
right.
show up. Okay. The guy has an overnight. The guy has a this. A
right.
Basketball.
So then you'd have to then.
You could charge the parents.
Yes. Although there might be, what to discuss about the different situation. But in principle, the answer is yes. Another case that of a loss, which isn't a monetary loss maybe, but it's still the same, it's dealt with the same way. I'm making a chasna, Baruch Hashem. When? 3 months from now. So I need a band. I need a singer. I need a cameraman, a photographer and a video man. So I go around, I check out different options. There's quite a few available when you're 3 months ahead of the day. And then I have them lined up. Right, a week before, 2 weeks before the wedding, right? The video man tells me, I got such a great job, it's worth 10 other jobs. Gonna go out to California for a week. Boy, this is gonna be make my whole year's burn out in 1 week. I say, very good, my friend. But I have a wedding next week, and you're gonna be there, and you're not going to California, right? Because that's unless you get me a replacement that will be an equal replacement. Now, you could tell me it's not a monetary loss not to have such great music or not to have such great pictures. But the Mishnah's case that is dealing with over there in the Mishnah that this halacha comes from, is one of the cases is that if you're hiring chalilim, flute players, either for a chasna, for a simcha, or bar minan, they used to do it in the wailing at a funeral, and you're not going to have that wailing or you're not going to have that tesmeres at the chasna, that's also considered to be a dover of it. That's a one-time occasion. That's a special occasion we have. And I was counting on this. I need to have, Shweki himself come and sing over there. And he can't take any engagement for that day, no matter who it is, no matter if they're going to offer him 10 times the price. Sorry, I got you booked already. Without any payment and without any contract being signed, if he told me I can count on it, then it's mine.
Can you compel him to show up? Does he just have to pay you?
What?
Can you compel him to show up?
Yes. Unless he could give me someone else that's equal to him. And he doesn't want to do that because then he'll be, against his own business. Okay. Now, a totally different, I only have 3 minutes left. A totally different kind of application. There's many other instances of this. I'm giving you the principle. But here's another principle which has also many applications. And that is in terms of purchasing and selling. If I order from you a custom order, benches for my wedding with my chasen kalo's name on it, yarmulkes with the bar mitzvah's name on it, a birthday cake that says happy birthday Daniel, or whatever, something like that, or a custom made seamstress dress for my wife, and then I haven't bought it, it's not mine, it's yours, your material, so you're making beautiful wedding cake, whatever else it might be, and then I call up and I cancel it. Now, who are you going to sell that wedding cake or that bar mitzvah yarmulke or bar mitzvah benches for the chasna? You can't sell it to anyone else, right? Those benches are totally a waste of money right now in the bench printer house or the bakery.
Can't
what?
Can't you recover them?
No. It's not worth the money for it. to undo it, to restaple it, replace it, to have it look like they've been patched up. He's going to take the whole lot and put them in Seamus and start again. What's it going to do with my bakery, my birthday cake that says Happy Birthday Daniel? Someone's going to call up now for Happy Birthday Sarah. And what, they're going to scrape off the icing and put on new icing? It's not going to work. They're going to take it and they'll throw it at each other. That's what they're going to do. Oh, and now, excellent. Rachman and Slan, it does happen, right? A week before the wedding, the kala pulls out, or the chazan pulls out. By that time, right, by that time, besides the heart veitug and the busha that's involved, which is also an issue, right, but I already put down money on all these different kind of services, right? So whoever it is that's backing out is causing actual monetary damage to the other person too. So these are issues of a word that's more than simply a matter of integrity and amana or l'fnim yeshuas din or the different levels that we talked about, where I gave you a word that you're allowed to, that you're able to rely on, and you come to pick me up to take me to the airport, or you make my bakery cake, or you don't take other teaching jobs, or things like that. And now when I pull out, you're at a situation of loss. A, I'm not allowed to pull out. And if Bez is able to force him, or if a Rav is able to tell him what you're doing right now is an issue, you're not allowed to do so. That's on one. And second of all, it's even a collectible. It's even a liability that could be collected on Shabbos. Excuse me? Yes, whatever the loss the baker had by making that birthday cake, which is more than the deposit amount. A wedding cake could be worth, I don't know how much it costs, $100. What?
The retail price or the cost?
The cost, including labor, which is going to be close. There's a profit margin, but it's not just material. It's not just the flour and the sugar. It's 2 hours of work, which is labor. Oh, that was the question I think that came up last week. Right? Now, let's take one half a second on that. Someone RSVPs, I'm coming to your bar mitzvah, I'm coming to your chasana, so you now reserve one plate. The plate is whatever, $25 a plate, whatever it costs for have a plate, right? And then he doesn't show up. So first of all, I don't know, 5 or 10% are always no shows. That's always part of the game. You know that, right? Now, but it's not really costing him anything. He's already ordered his 300 seats for his chasna. If I don't come, it doesn't cost it anymore. He's just going to have to pay that same amount. But he is willing to buy a meal and pay the caterer for me on the assumption I'm going to come and be mishtatev in a simcha. I decided, no, I want to just do something else, whatever it might be. He's spending money for me, and I'm not doing my part of the engagement of the deal. There's something wrong about doing that. It won't be this hezek. It's not causing a hezek by my not coming. I think there's a time that you ask me to spend money. If you have a good reason, we understand that's the way things are. RSVP means I'm planning to, hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, if everything works out. But it's not 100% firm, and it's not that that's going to be into what we're starting. So you have to think twice before you RSVP. I usually like to answer, I'll be there for the chasana.